Good evening. I'm Hank Jones, and you're listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here at Global Patriot Radio, where we can be found on blogtalkradio.com, including Mondays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al, Mamma Mia, No Sharia. Wednesdays, of course, is me, Hank Jones, with Hank Jones Poly Sports, talking politics, sports, and those moments when they collide. Usually not pretty when it does. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to midnight, Eastern Time, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Several ways to interact with our show, of course. Come online. If you don't have an account, just hit the live button. When you get to the next screen, go down to the bottom right. It says Chatters. It's in that way. Or just hit the link if you get it. I'll tell you what, anytime you're listening to one of our shows, follow it. You'll get emails. That's assuming you sign up for a free account. Of course, you can always listen in via phone, 319-527-6706. Some folks like to connect directly with Skype. I get that 111 number that pops up. Others are listening in, including Hawkeye Mike and Brother Tommy. No one in the chat room just yet. I don't know if Indie Hawk's going to show. We'll have to tell you about that. There's other shows on Blog Talk Radio. Annie, the radio chick with Southern Sense. She goes Fridays from 1 to 3 or 4. She's also on another format. I heard Vito talking about it. I don't know what it is, but Joseph Gibson, Joe Gibson, Restoring Our Republic, Tuesday nights at 7. Sally with American Statesman, Monday nights, also at 7. Vito, and then head over to Sally if I'm on. Several others. G-Ski Rocks, I'm not sure what he and Dave are doing with Airwaves America, but they, if you follow them, at least you'll know if they're going. Audrey Russo, Thursday nights on AudreyRusso.com. She's had some good guests that I've listened to, got to say. I'm hanging out in the official Hank Jones Poly Sports Space Force Observation Outpost with my little mini Aussie, fed a little late today, 5:19, supposed to be at 5. Eh. My wife is out in Seattle still, visiting with our daughter and son-in-law, and of course our brand new grandson. He's actually over a month old now. Flies, huh? My weekly statement, of course, Barack Obama orchestrated or covered up the circumstances of the death of Tafari Campbell. Change my mind. Today's first internet laughy is from the Babylon Bee. National Guardsmen being trampled by migrants. Glad to hear we are not being invaded. And our second, also from the Babylon Bee, in bold speech, Biden calls on ships to stop crashing into bridges. Recent losses, I did not do them last week, so I'll catch up. On the 14th of March, we lost American mountaineer and expeditioner David Brashears at age 68. No cause was listed. He was on Mount Everest 8 times. He summited 5 times. He was actually the first American to summit the world's highest mountain a second time. He also guided Dick Bass on his successful Everest ascent. It made Dick Bass the first person in the world to reach the 7 summits, the highest peak on each continent. Now, they get into arguments about which is the highest and for Australia and the Oceania and all that, but suffice it to say, he is recognized as the first. On the 18th of March, we lost an American hero, Thomas Stafford, to liver cancer at age 93. He was an Air Force officer and test pilot, later became an astronaut, several missions for NASA, including Gemini 6A, 9A, and then Apollo 10. Where he and Gene Cernan were the first to fly an Apollo lunar lander in orbit, getting to within 9 miles of the moon. He served as chief of the astronaut office from 1969 to 71. He later served as commander of the Apollo Soyuz test project in 1975, where an Apollo spacecraft docked with a Soviet Soyuz missile. On the 19th, oh, man, we lost a veteran character actor. You saw even James Woods mentioned it on Twitter. M. Emmett Walsh, to cardiac arrest at the age of 88. Two awesome roles. He had several, but two awesome roles I love. He was Dr. Jellyfinger in the 1985 Chevy Chase flick Fletch. And a year later, he's the diving coach who coaxes Rodney Dangerfield's Thornton Mellon to win a diving meet with his impossible dive, the Triple Lindy, in Back to School. In all, he logged work in 119 films and over 250 television productions. On the 21st, we lost actor Ron Harper at age 91. He replaced Spencer Milligan. He played the father in the TV series Land of the Lost, Will Marshall. They write the story as he comes into the time warp in the third season as Uncle Jack Marshall, leading Will's kids, Will Jr. and Holly. Spencer Milligan, I don't know if it was a contract dispute or whatever. I mean, it's Saturday morning TV. But so they did it as Uncle Jack is looking for them, and he comes in, and Will goes out. He also played astronaut Alan Verdon, one season only, 1974 TV series Planet of the Apes. It's now usually they show it as like 2.5 hour movies where they combine some of the episodes into a movie. That series messed up the original timeline of the 1968 film, the one that began the original five film series. So it's no wonder the apes are winning, or at least for now. On the 22nd, we lost Ty Gregg. He was shot to death, age unknown, presumably by person or persons unknown. He was one of the gang leaders of the many that are running rampant through Haiti. I say barbecue did it. 23rd, we lost Linda Bean, businesswoman and philanthropist. She was the granddaughter of the company founder, Leon Leonwood Bean, better known as L.L. Bean. She was 82. We also lost lawyer and owner of the Baltimore Orioles Major League Baseball franchise, Peter Angelos, at age 94. Sunday, this is a weird one. We lost San Vicente, Ecuador Mayor Brigitte Garcia. She was shot to death, only 27. Monday the 25th, we lost film producer Paula Weinstein at the age of 78. Among her credits, The Perfect Storm, The Fabulous Baker Boys, and Blood Diamond. Today, we lost a brilliant author, psychologist, and economist. Israeli-American Daniel Kahneman passed away at the age of 90. He was born in Tel Aviv, spent his early years in Paris. His formative experience, he said, came. He was walking home later than the mandatory curfew time of 6 p.m. that Jews were forced to obey. He had turned a sweater inside out so as to hide his identifying Star of David would be noticed. Curiously, a German soldier wearing the most feared all-black uniform called him over and spoke to him. Instead of being punished, the soldier picked him up and hugged him, and then he took out his wallet and showed him a picture of a little boy, presumably the soldier's son, and then he handed him some money and sent Daniel Kahneman on his way. In his words, Daniel Kahneman said in part, "I went home most certain than ever that my mother was right. People were endlessly complicated and interesting." Now, this led him to the field of psychology, later branched out into behavioral economics. To give you an idea of how powerful that experience was, it spurred Kahneman to a career that earned him, from The Economist magazine, the rank of the seventh most influential economist in the world. Godspeed, Daniel Kahneman. You lived a truly extraordinary life, a measurable impact, born of immense curiosity and power of observation. And now we are just learning of the death of former senator and vice presidential candidate Joe Lieberman of Connecticut. A good man. A Democrat, later an independent. The Dems ran a guy named Ned Lamont, or as Rush Limbaugh called him, Ned Lament, who beat Joe Lieberman in the primary. And he decided to run as an independent, and he won. Now, remember, he was part of the 2000 election, debacle, if you want to call it that, the disputed election that everyone says the Supreme Court put Bush in office, Joe Lieberman was the vice presidential candidate. He served as Connecticut Attorney General from 1983 to 89, member of the U.S. Senate from 1989 to 2013. He was 82, complications from a fall. Like I said, I often didn't agree with him on politics, but he was, I don't want to say a security hawk, but he was definitely pro-Israel. He was an Orthodox Jew. People tried to make more out of, mountain out of the molehill with the fact, oh, his wife can't even worship in the same room in the synagogue. Well, that's Jewish tradition, and people tried to make something out of that. Stupid. A good man. Very sorry to hear that. He was a voice of reason, passes for a voice of reason anyway these days, in the Democrat Party. Wow, really kind of a shock. I hadn't heard that he had fallen or anything like that, but just looking it up on Google real quick or on Wikipedia, whatever. It's funny. His first campaign appearance after losing the Democratic primary to Ned Lamet, he criticized him, saying, if we just pick up like Ned Lamont wants us to do, get out of Iraq by a certain date, it will be taken as a tremendous victory by the same people who wanted to blow up the planes in the plot hatched in England. It will strengthen them and they will strike again. Adequately said, this position is similar to Bush and Cheney. They said, both of them believe our invasion of Iraq has a lot to do with 9/11. It did. It wasn't necessarily a false premise, as Ned Lament said. It was maybe under some sketchy info, but it turns out a lot of that info was correct. He had the support and friendship of a lot of conservatives. And the National Republican Senatorial Committee actually stated that they would favor Lieberman over Lament. They were not going to openly support him. And he earned the praise of no less than Rudy Giuliani during that time. So, yeah, very sad. He was part of the creation of the Homeland Security Department, which I know a lot of people don't agree with, but the formation of it was good. Remember, that actually wasn't formed to, people, it's like a lot of the Patriot Act. No. Remember, before then, certain intelligence agencies, including some of our military intelligence, were not allowed to exchange info. They weren't allowed to pass information back and forth. And Joe Lieberman was part of that group. He introduced legislation to allow more open communication between agencies. And Joe Lieberman was a big part of that. Very sorry to hear. Oh, man. Andy Hawk and Alaskan are in the chat room. Sue from New Mexico has joined us on the phones, listening in. Indy's going to catch it later, but in good fun. Remember, if you would please, to continue to pray for Felicia Goodson and her family going through a cancer battle. I hope she has finished her treatment. Great guest on this show back in 2020. Super sweet lady. Also, don't forget my friends at Alliance Communications, Central Florida's premier 24-hour call center, messaging and answering service, working with remote staff, working with medical offices, hospital clinics, information gathering services. Give them a call, 800-555-3738, or visit them on the web at alliancecommunications.com. Here's an Internet Laffy. It's supposed to be a story, but it's an Internet Laffy. Hunter Biden's attorneys are seeking dismissal of his tax-related charges. One claim is that the Department of Justice prosecution has been politically motivated. Good Lord. get to it. According to Dylan Byers of Puck News, that's Puck with a P, folks. Puck with a P. Ronna McDaniel's suck-up maneuver of going to NBC turns out it's a bust, reported by Dylan Byers via American Liberty News. NBC to part ways with Ronna McDaniel. Apparently, it says her days as a paid contributor at NBC News are numbered following a revolt within the network's ranks and that of its sister station, MSDNC. Top NBC executives were expected to meet. Prominent anchors ranging from Chuck Todd to Mr. Maddow spoken out against her. And later, Morning Blowhole and his wife, who Brother Tommy thinks is hot, not sure why, spoke out against it. Yeah, really stupid. Really sad in a way. Chris Wallace. There was a clip of McDaniel telling Chris Wallace that she didn't believe Joe Biden won fair. Said when she was on Meet the Depressed, Kristen Welker asked her, can you say, as you sit here today, did Joe Biden win the election fair and square? She goes, he won. He's a legitimate president. Did he win fair and square? McDaniel eventually admitted Biden won fair and square. Okay, whatever. So Ronna McDaniel's out, covered it a little too. She's evidently hired attorneys. So this will be fun. RFK Jr. apparently has a running mate, and it pretty much confirmed my beliefs and statements that he is basically a wolf in sheep's clothing at best and a pawn of the DNC at worst. Patriot Journal kind of covers it. Her name's Nicole Shanahan. She's a leftist. She's a California attorney. And basically, she runs a foundation dedicated to left-wing crap like abortion rights, criminal justice reform, fighting climate change. She donated to Biden's campaign, of course. She's from Oakland. She was thrust into the spotlight. Remember, she had a public split with Google co-founder, whatever, Sergey Brin. Supposedly had an affair with Elon Musk in 2021, which fractured Musk and Brin's friendship. Musk denied it. Shanahan denied it as well. But the Journal says they stand by it. She donated $4 million to the Kennedy-aligned Super PAC that ran a Super Bowl ad supporting his candidacy. It was kind of controversial. Remember, it sort of repurposed an ad from Uncle JFK. Apparently, some of the members of the family weren't pleased either. She says she aligns with Kennedy on issues such as vaccine skepticism and the environment. But then she said Kennedy isn't anti-vaccine, but that they should go through more rigorous scrutiny. Charlie Kirk notes that she's a six-figure donor to George Gascon, the pro-crime Soros-backed prosecutor who helped wreck San Francisco and is currently wrecking L.A. She also spent big on Measure J, a Los Angeles measure to reroute spending from law enforcement, blah, blah, blah. Kind of weird, really. I don't know. I'm not sure. Boyd had a call with Vito and Al the other night where he talked about they think Kennedy might be being used by the DNC to try and win at least one or two states, which would cause a split electoral college or a split electoral vote, and that it would come down to the House of Representatives, which right now the Republicans have the slimmest of majorities, but won't have one probably by 2024 or 2025. So that's RFK Jr. President Trump had some interesting input on the situation in Gaza. It was not what I would have expected. American Liberty News reports that he called for peace in Gaza, and he basically said, now, first of all, Netanyahu canceled a trip to the U.S. by two of his senior advisors after the U.S. has basically pressed him and is telling, you know, telling him he's got to lay off. Basically, Donald Trump said, we got to go for peace. You can't have this going on. Israel has to be very careful because you're losing a lot of the world, a lot of support. I don't disagree. I think it's, you know, unfortunately what's being shown is, you know, Israel attacks, which are warranted, but they're trying to turn it into the next Vietnam almost. I mean, it's just, it's disgusting. But I don't disagree that Israel has to sue for peace, per se, or, you know, shouldn't pursue peace, I should say. But, yeah, come on. You really think Hamas and Gaza want peace? If you're really believing that, I don't know what else to tell you. Okay, next. After the mass shooting at a Moscow concert venue, I can say one thing straight out. I ain't going to many concerts from here on out. Okay, yeah, local clubs, the small venues, the dinner show types of small concerts, I'll occasionally go for that. But if you think I am stupid enough to attend large venues, wrong. By the way, I thought mass shootings only happened in the United States. Am I right? Remember, only in America do we have mass shootings. That's what people always say. So basically, gunmen attacked a concert venue last Friday, killed at least 40 people, probably more, according to reports. At least three men dressed in military fatigues and armed with rifles attacked the Crocus City Hall, concert venue in the suburb of the Russian capital. Explosion and fire also reported. Three of them burst into the ground floor, opened fire from automatic weapons. They are definitely wounded. Russian authorities said they broke up a planned ISIS attack on a Moscow area synagogue on March 7th. Department issued a warning for Americans to avoid large gatherings on that date as well. Wow. What is it? I mean, I don't know. The Epoch Times, if you haven't read it, it's called The Epoch, E-P-O-C-H, The Epoch Times. They always have insightful stuff. It's why I actually pay for it. It's the only news source I actually pay to access. The first is a mind-boggling piece about a viral video from some clown in Venezuela telling folks it's perfectly cool to invade and occupy homes in the U.S. and that it's their quote-unquote right. First of all, any law that allows this isn't a law. It's a scheme. The fact that this is happening and municipalities and states are siding with the squatters is beyond belief. That there are liberal/progressive types out there who agree, sadly, that's well within my believability sphere. That supposedly, for sale signs are a hot indicator. But basically, they are targeting any unoccupied home. I'm not sure how they go about it without casing the places. Have no idea what the time frame is. Of course, it's the rage in dumps like California and New York. Thank God those crap holes allow you to spend tons of money on lawyers and filing fees to get the squatters out. Here's an idea, though. If any of you try it, let me know how it works. Try this. Stop paying property taxes. Why not? What the hell? If they pursue it, just tell them you're squatting, invoking squatters' rights that we are, all of us, apparently allowed to invoke. Number two, point out that you're a responsible squatter, taking care of the yard, the dwelling, not parking 10 cars in the driveway or on the street, keeping all entertainment, TV, music, etc., and otherwise, at a low volume. Three, brag. Brag on the fact you haven't done any improvements that require a permit. Better yet, do them anyway. What the hell? You're squatting. I look forward to the results. By the way, any of you squatter types, you may not like the fact, if you try it here at the official Hank Jones Polysports Space Force Observation Outpost, might be in for a shock. Just saying. The next piece from the Epoch Times covers some statements made by President Trump after a New York appeals court lowered the bond amount required in his appeal of the spurious lawsuit brought by New York Attorney General Litigious James. It's signed off by Judge Egbert Moron. Bit of it. Basically, President Trump says that Dopey Joe is behind the lawfare that has been going on. He says he's behind every single lawfare attack and that it will backfire. He said basically President Joe's Dopey Joe, I'm sorry, I shouldn't call him President Joe. President Dopey Joe is behind every single one of the lawfare attacks against him, and that all these cases he's embroiled in amount to election interference that will ultimately have the reverse effect. I made the remarks during a press conference at the Trump building on March 25th after the court agreed to pause collection of the $464 million judgment if he puts up $175 million within 10 days. He, of course, hailed the ruling, said he would very quickly post a bond, securities, or cash to cover the $175 million. Puts it up, it will prevent the state from seizing his assets while he appeals the judgment. As a little aside, did you hear what some of these clowns on CNN and MSDNC and the other ones were saying? They were saying seizing Mar-a-Lago would satisfy $240 million of that judgment. They said that's what it's worth and that he's trying to hide it. Well, wait a second. I thought Judge Egbert Moron said it was only worth $18 million, or Litigious James. Am I not right? They said he overvalued it so much, but it was really only worth $18 million. But now they're saying it's worth $240 if they can seize it. The allegations weren't made by any of his bankers. Litigious James ran on the fact that she was going after him. She was starting to kick off efforts to collect it, but the New York Appeals Court stopped that. Her office sought to downplay the court's decision, noting that the judgment still stands, even if it temporarily blocks her from trying to collect. She said, Donald Trump is still facing accountability for his staggering fraud. He said, President Trump said, every single one of these cases is run by Biden and his thugs. It's the only way they can get elected. They think they can get elected, and I think so far it's backfiring. We're going through this weaponization of our government to try and knock out somebody's political opponent, and it's going to have a reverse effect. Now, Egbert Moron said Trump and top executives made misleading claims in financial statements. And the president pointed out people who did business with him were cautioned not to rely on financial statements and carry out their own analyses. People who testified at his trial made clear that this rationale isn't unreasonable and is common practice. David Williams, a Deutsche Bank executive who worked on at least one of three loans the bank gave to the president, testified in November 2023 that this isn't unusual for a bank to cut a client's stated asset value, even by half, and still approve a loan, like it did with President Trump. He also said it's standard practice for Deutsche Bank to subject a client's asset value to an adjustment, saying differences between a client and the bank about asset values aren't a disqualifying factor when considering granting loans because it's just a difference of opinion. Prosecutors, of course, rejected it, as did Egbert Moron. Egbert Moron also put the Trump Organization under supervision of an independent monitor for at least 3 years. The company to hire an independent compliance director to ensure it follows financial reporting rules. Just that alone, just those words, those statements. Think about that. How many companies in New York are probably run as sketchy companies? I'm not even talking about the mob or anything like that. Just regular companies in New York are probably run by pretty sketchy folks and under pretty sketchy circumstances. How many of them have been put under supervision of an independent monitor? How many are required to hire independent compliance directors? I realize they're going after President Trump, but the point being, when will they stop? Where will they stop? And the answer is, as long as they're allowed to do it, they won't. If you're running a successful business, and let's just say you're in the way of some crony, of some sleazy government official, which I realize is redundant. Think about that. You're running, let's just say you're running, I don't know, a car dealership on a prime piece of property. And some sleazebag who has friends in local government decides he wants that property. Not even the dealership, he just wants that property. Is it beyond these people? We already know now that it's not beyond people like this to look for any means necessary to pursue getting you out of there, hindering your ability to do business, never mind hindering your ability to do other things like run for office or whatever. But they just hinder your ability to do business. Things like, think of restaurants. Restaurants are always getting nailed for health violations, health code violations. So what do? They like somebody wants the property, they just keep putting the pressure on. Suddenly you're closed because they say you're unsafe. Never mind that a lot of other people are unsafe. They single you out because they want your property. So they close you down. And guess what? With no money coming in, you can't make the improvements. Restaurants don't exactly run with huge cash margins, despite all the facts, you know, all the speculation and the accusation that all they do is launder money. See, what idiot, what big left and their idiotic posse don't understand? If you were making it hand over fist in a business, you'd probably eventually get out sooner rather than later, because theoretically you have the money to get out. I knew this lady in my old church. She actually said she was voting for the Florida minimum wage law years ago, before the disgusting one that passed in 2019, 2020. But she said she's voting for the – now, this is a lady whose family had a bunch of orange groves in the area and other properties. She's never really worked a day in her life. She said she's voting for it on the ballot. Businessmen just keep all the profits. Literally, that's what she said. Now, anyone who's ever been in business realizes that. And then they talk about public, well, these executives getting six-figure and eight-figure salaries. I remember when they made a big deal about the person who ran the American Red Cross being paid $600,000 a year. And I'll tell you what, only a moron who doesn't know what the hell is going on would scream about that. I'm not saying the nonprofit world isn't without its idiosyncrasies, let's just call it that. But if you think running the American Red Cross on a national scale, you know why it doesn't attract super high-powered executives? Because they make a lot more money in the private sector. But I've known people who said, oh, the nonprofit sector just exploits its employees. Jesus, would you run the American Red Cross knowing that there's six disasters a day around the country? Would you run the American Red Cross for less, for a penny less? Anybody who has a clue sure as hell would not. But that's the twisted nature of Big Left. I mean, it's just here's Yahoo's News' original reporting on the Baltimore Bridge collapse. So now we know, basically, the NTSB has recovered the black box. We know that there are six presumed dead. The Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed. A ship from Singapore, I believe, under Singaporean flag, lost power, apparently. Now, they were able to put out a mayday, They were able to keep more cars from getting onto the bridge. This happened overnight on Sunday / Monday. I guess it was on Tuesday, Monday / Tuesday. 8 workers were on the bridge fixing potholes. 2 of them were rescued. The other 6 are presumed dead at this point. The Dolly was the name of the ship. It's bound from Baltimore to Sri Lanka. Apparently lost power. Crashed into a pillar that helped stabilize the 1.6-mile-long bridge. They sent out a Mayday signal that allowed officials to stop traffic. So there's that. The ship is as long as 3 football fields. It lost propulsion and followed emergency protocols by dropping anchor. For all these people saying, how could this happen? Carry traffic over. They're not built to have 300-foot or 300-yard, 900-foot-long ships crash into them. Even traveling at very low speed, you know the momentum? Mass times velocity? The force of the ship, as one person, even U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, or Buttgag, whatever, even he said, the force of the ship is almost unimaginable. About 100,000 tons carrying its load, 200 million pounds went into the bridge all at once. I get it. Now, the Dolly was also involved in a 2016 crash at a Belgian port. Sad, very sad, but these things do happen, folks. I mean, people are making it out to be like this, oh, this is terrible. No, these things do happen on occasion. Accidents. We have plane crashes. We have auto crashes. It just happens. Got a couple of callers. This one I recognize. Hey, Boyd, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Grandpa?
Good, sir. Oh, I'm doing good. My wife has changed her first diaper finally. I assume she changed it for our daughter, but she's changed her first with her grandson. Actually, our daughter is actually being very protective and, I mean, not overprotective, but, like, you know, wants to make sure she does it right. So I'm going to bring Brother Tommy in, too. Brother Tommy, what's going on?
I'm still trying to figure out what's funnier, the nickname Litigious James or when you said that Biden says we don't want our ship captains to hit bridges. It's like telling an airline pilot, hey, don't go into the mountain. Oh, gee, thanks, Mr. President. I never thought of that.
Well, that was a fake headline from the Babylon. He didn't
do
that.
Okay, that makes more sense.
He didn't actually say it.
But I have never heard of Litigious James. That's pretty pretty funny.
Hey, Tommy, you don't get those fake headlines from the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee's telling the truth, you know.
I don't go on those sites for reasons of sanity, you know. So
no, that one's
when
that,
I hear
that's
that stuff,
funny.
It's kind of funny.
That's very
funny.
Another one they put out today that I didn't feature it today, but it's a pretty good one. Is Pete Buttgag calls emergency press conference to announce he's taking 3 more months of maternity leave.
So Babylon Bee, way I get it, because I hear it on Gutfeld and stuff, that's just a satirical thing, right?
Yeah, it's just a satire that...
Of
everything. Hey, you know, I was just wondering what Letitia James is going to do with all of that down payment money she received by selling Trump property. I wonder if she's going to get sued because, she was in a hurry to seize all that property. And, you know, she had to have it on sale right away, you know, so the state could get their money, you know, pennies on the dollar. I wonder how many people had given her pennies on the dollar for those properties.
Well, if so, we'll find out soon enough. I mean,
she's an absolute witch. She's an absolute witch. And speaking of witch, she was on a witch hunt.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, she ran on, you know, I'm going to get Trump. But I, you know, as much as I fault her, I equally fault the judge, Egbert Moron, for I mean,
scumbag.
Mike is listening. I don't know if he's ready to call in, but I mean, I would still like to hear from Mike how a judge arrives at this kind of a decision. How, I mean, how does a judge justify that decision? I just don't know. I can't
even
imagine.
Exactly
what,
how. I'll tell you exactly
from
how. It's called the Messiah Complex. It's called the Messiah Complex. They've got power that they don't deserve, and they subsequently yield that power like a child yields his daddy's gun and does it. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well,
Lee, what's your
from what I understand, those numbers that the judge fined him happen to be within a couple of million dollars of the campaign fund that Trump had.
I'm not at all shocked to hear that. I wish I was shocked to hear it, but I'm not shocked.
Well, they dumped it down to 100 million and change, right? 147 million something. 175, okay.
Which is still a pretty high number considering how many multi-billion dollar corporations and stuff have been fined much less than that for their transgressions.
Yeah, I know.
And people don't realize that just because you're a billionaire does not mean the reason you're a billionaire is you have your capital working for you. You don't have cash in the bank. So I don't care if you're Elon Musk. It's going to be tough to come up with $500 million in cash.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just don't. Yeah. So when you guys tell me that, you know, that was the campaign, that doesn't shock me at all. But I mean, how you can, you know, Brother Tommy, you mentioned the Messiah Complex, you know, judges. Is this guy going to get smacked? And again, Mike, if he wants to chime in, it would be the one that would know that better. I mean, whether that's going to be
Mike was a lawyer does not mean he's got a patent on.
No. He doesn't have insider info, but I mean, he did work for, you know, federal courts, and I don't know if they ever handled appeals, but you know they.
They're scumbags. They're appointed. He was an appointed judge, and they have a political agenda. And once you get to a certain level, take Machiavelli, and I'll do anything to keep and retain my power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's what they are. They're the ones that were picked on in high school, and now it's payback time. I've said that before, and I'll say it again because I'll stick to it.
Well, that's what you always said. You say about some of these journalists and stuff.
That's right.
I feel, I hope, and I pray that within the next 10 years or so, when this stuff gets all through the courts, I hope and pray that the state of New York has to change its name to the state of Trump after he owned everything that New York has.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Trump honk. I'm not a Trump apologist even. I happen to like him. I make apologies. I make no apologies for liking Trump. But I think it's Hank didn't do it. I listened to a different podcast today, Bill Burr's podcast about Oppenheimer. I see so much similarities between Oppenheimer and Trump. It's ridiculous. The deep state is just picking on him for absolutely, as far as I see, no reason other than we don't like him. So we're going to fabricate shit. And it's starting to irritate me. And that's why I've taken myself out of politics. But, yeah, it's ugly. It's ugly.
Well,
I hope Trump wins New York. I hope he does.
They loved him before he came down that escalator.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was a philanthropist. He got so many rewards from, you know, like NAACP, Sharpton and Rosa Parks and, you know, Muhammad Ali, you know, they all adored him because he wasn't tight with his money, you know, and he did a lot of philanthropical, however you say that word.
Philanthropical.
Yeah. And, you know, there's stories of him hearing of a kid that needed surgery and they couldn't get it in wherever he was. And he sent his fucking airplane to go get the kid and bring him back to where he could get his surgery. The same thing,
yeah, I think
you know,
he's the most maligned. Yeah, I think he's the most maligned politician I've ever seen. I mean, Nixon,
you know,
maybe, but I think Trump's the most maligned politician I've ever seen. And falsely maligned.
I think,
you know, and remember a few years ago that kid that was in Britain that was going to die because Britain would not allow him to receive the treatment that he needed to live.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, Trump's plane was on the ground in Britain to bring that kid to the United States, and they refused to let the kid board the airplane.
Yeah, they did.
Unfucking believable. Unfucking believable. Yeah. I did not know that story. I did not know. That sucks. Yeah. Oh, God damn. Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to mention, there's a guy in the chat room who has a show on Blog Talk Radio. His name is Tim Tapp. It's called Tap in the Truth. I wish I had more time, but now when I'm paddling, I'm usually not around, so I try to listen to snippets when I can afterward. But his name is Tim Tapp. Great show and just insightful. One of those.
Can you give us a little bit more? I got my pen here. What day and what time?
Tim, put it in the chat when your show is. Maybe he will. Maybe he's not tapping. Or he did.
No
say
rush.
That
no rush.
No, but yeah, no, great show. He does multiple nights, I think, and I think he's also simulcast on radio in some places around the country. Really sharp. I remember he felt sorry for me during COVID because he said there wasn't much to report out on the poly sports part of it. I was like, are you kidding? This is the best time. All we did was laugh at the Big Ten when they were canceling seasons and stuff like that. So, but no, really, really sharp. Has a lot of insight into our you know, not just our political system, but the, you know, how some of the economic portions of it work. And
TAPP.
Yeah, TAPP. Yeah, and okay. he doesn't come at it with the snarky attempt at levity like I'm always doing. He's actually can be serious and can actually get the point across a little better than Brother Tommy says. I need to have a point. It makes it so. Oh, he's not live on Blog Talk Radio anymore. He does shows on Tuesdays and Fridays. Tell us where, Tim. And I have a Skype caller. It's a 111 number. If you're listening and you can somehow get in the chat room and tell me who you are, because I am not going to get into some of these calls where I don't know who it is and they want to hear themselves swear.
I don't know you. I don't know what you do
exactly.
For a living.
Yeah, exactly. He's live on multiple platforms. Brother Tommy's referencing a line from Godfather Part 2. I don't know this Merle. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he lives on. Yeah, exactly. And it was so perfectly said because he said it right in front of the guy. So anyway, so if you're that 111 Skype caller, please let me know so I can or can't take your call. So.
Hank, Rick hasn't called in yet?
No, he has not. Now, it could be him, too, that's listening in, and I don't know it because he said he was going to be out on the road. So.
Okay, yeah, he gets busy there.
Here's a really good story on American Action News. It's a guy named Kenneth Raposa, and it's called Mexico is Becoming China's Mini-Me. And he talks about nearshoring or friendshoring, and it was supposed to help companies in the U.S. economy de-risk from China. But it says
China's facilitating bitch, believe it or not. Yes, that's a true socioeconomic fact.
And they say nearshoring is approaching its be careful what you wish for moment. So 4 hours from Laredo, Texas, Nuevo León, not Nuevo Laredo, Nuevo León, nearly $7 billion in investments have been made by American companies like Tesla. But Chinese multinationals are building the Hofusan Industrial Park. And it says they were designed to remap supply chains and reshore manufacturing. But the International Trade Commission said, so, you know, that would happen in nearly all 10 sectors impacted by Trump tariffs. But it says Mexico will do the United States what China did for 10 years after entering the WTO. translate into a barrage of new goods entering the United States duty-free. Tom Cotton and Sherrod Brown introduced Stop Mexico's Steel Surge Act to impose a 25% tariff on Mexico. Josh Hawley introduced a bill to place 100% tariffs on China EVs made in Mexico. Trump agreed, saying
he would
do the same.
Let me tell you why you don't have to worry about Mexico. Their business model is manada. They never do shit. Same with Brazil. Manada.
No.
Everything's manada.
It's manada. But
Yana. Okay.
that was when Hawley talked about that. That was what brought up the bloodbath comment from Trump. It had nothing to do, of course, with creating a bloodbath. But,
oh no. Totally
so, but Toyota, Hyundai,
and
BMW building a Mexican factory. Can you imagine?
Yeah, well, their quality is going to go to shit. That's what happened to Nissan. Nissan went to shit. I have a buddy who ran a car dealership, and he's like, Tom, I got a new Toyota Corolla. And he's like, do not buy a fucking Nissan. If you do anything
Nissan. That's his problem, so.
No,
okay,
but
so,
Nissans
so
are
so
sucked.
Here are Tim's platforms. www.vara. VaraRadioNetwork.com.
Slow down. VARA.com.
No, VaraRadioNetwork.com.
Oh, fuck. That's too much. Okay.
And then the next one, I'll text it to you. The next one is KStarTalkRadio.com. And then
Reasonably cerebral.
Very cerebral. And then libertytalk.fm and then zmaradio.com.
Just text it to me and tell me the times.
I will. 7 p.m.
Eastern. I have friends that I spread the word to. I've got some friends that would like to hear this shit. So, yeah, that's cool.
It's not shit. It's very good stuff, actually.
No, this stuff.
I know.
Meaning this stuff.
Right. Here's the thing. They've said, so China's exports to Mexico rose nearly 60% in January. As they say, we have leverage against China by tariffs, but with Mexico we don't with the free trade agreement, that whole the border problems. And, by the way, López Obrador said he won't accept deportees. How is that? How can somebody, can you imagine them saying they won't accept? I mean, here we fought like hell to get Brittany Griner back from Russia, and Mexico's saying they won't accept deportees.
Everything with Mexico and China is backdoor. They're outwitting us.
And guess
simple.
What?
I'm sorry.
Guess what else is active?
They're outwitting
what else
us.
Is active? Guess what else is active in Nuevo León? The Los Zetas
cartels. I'm guessing
cartels.
Cartels, yeah, obviously. Yeah, they run the country. Do you think the government does shit down there? No, the cartels run the country. That's a foregone conclusion.
Did you hear what the Mexican president told Biden?
About not accepting the deportees or something else?
Something else. He says, you're going to have to pay all this money to all of these countries, basically where all the cartels are all set up, millions of dollars, if you think that we're going to do anything. Because if you don't pay that money, we're not going to stop this.
Yep. It's like the Russian oligarchy in the 80s and 90s. The government doesn't run dick. It's the fucking mafia. Or cartels, call it what you want. Pick your poison.
Yeah. Welcome Esotericism to the chat room as well. He was in last week during my short Caden Proctor rant. That was good. But, yeah,
hey, didn't that suck about Lieberman? Fucking A. He was one Democrat I could tolerate.
Yeah, I think he was, by all accounts and by what you saw in public, I think he was a good man, and just sad, but, 82 had a fall. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how Fox reported it. I was literally, Hank, I texted you like 3 minutes before your show started because Fox did breaking news and they said it was a fall. Yeah. They didn't elaborate, which to me is kind of interesting that there was no elaborate. What type of fall, you know?
Well, being from Connecticut, let's assume he was not in Baltimore, so he didn't fall from the bridge. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, we would have known. I mean, you know, it could have been anything. I mean, falls and hits his head. I mean, gosh, there are athletes that happen to, you know, so it's not even.
I face planted. My brother-in-law, Hank, you know, he's a doctor. He's like, if you've been 1 inch over, you could have had some serious repercussions. So,
So now they go on about this. NAFTA, they said, basically has been opened to the world. And and they're going to get stuff here duty-free. And that was never the intent of NAFTA. I mean, it's just scary to see that. I mean, I know all this is going on. So Merrick Garland and Dopey Joe's ghostwriter have been subpoenaed and face contempt of Congress charges. Now, we already know that doesn't mean much. But basically, they're saying even after Robert Hearst testified, they are saying that they're not getting transcripts of it. They are saying that stuff is being redacted. The ghostwriter is like they're not able to access any of that. Garland isn't turning it over.
So it's so freaking corrupt. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think though, at least Comer and Jim Jordan are at least trying to get something done. I don't know whether
it'll happen. Operative word being trying. And you know what? I never go down the Hannity realm for the most part, although I think he's very smart, but it is the deep state. This is so much deeper than the people that are in Congress, the Senate, all right, somewhat redundant, presidency. We're talking about FBI. We're talking about the shit Nixon was accused of that he didn't even do, but he was accused of. It's like, this is so much. Remember that movie? It's like, this is so much deeper than you are thinking. Woodward Bernstein, shape up. No, you guys aren't getting the half of it. And that's what's going on right now. It's just so deep. And Hank, you got a friend or an ex-friend that was in the CIA. You know what's going on.
Yeah, he was an attorney. He wasn't, you know, I don't think he was anything.
Yeah, but that's what they're operatives.
Yeah. Speaking of, and he's a prime example of somebody who can look at a deep state thing and not even really see any problem with it. Mike's on, so I'm going to bring Mike on real quick. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good, Hank. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. I had a quick question. Okay, I was talking about, the appeals court lowering President Trump's bond. But how is it Judge Egbert Moron how did he even arrive at that decision? From Litigious James, how did he arrive? I mean, have you read anything like legal opinions on how he arrived at it and the justification?
I haven't read the opinion itself. To tell you the truth, I don't really want to. But it's based on his calculation, along with the Attorney General's calculation, which I'm sure he just accepted without question, as to the actual amount of the fraud. In other words, remember, they were the basic allegation is that he obtained loans fraudulently from these very sophisticated large banks by inflating his net worth, which is primarily real estate. And among those calculations was a calculation that I think Mar-a-Lago was worth somewhere between 18 and 27 million. Probably worth closer to $1 billion from everything I've read.
Right.
So if you accept that calculation of 18 to 27 million, and I don't know the amount of loans he was receiving as part of his business, it wasn't actually him personally, remember, it's his businesses that they're going after. But you can come with a very, very large number like that. Plus, if you remember, there was interest involved over the years, which was accumulating at the kind of the sick rate of about $120,000 a day. So you have to factor all that in. And so that's where you get up to around half a billion. It's an absurd calculation. As I mean, even the Court of Appeals, which no doubt is full of liberals, or the Supreme Court up there, which is their Court of Appeals, you know, it's full of liberals, and they couldn't stomach it. And so, you know, I understand that it came from that's what the fraud is supposed to be, that he's overinflated his net worth by $450 million.
Did you guys hear Trump's sardonic wit yesterday? He said, are you fucking kidding me? My living room's worth $18 million.
I know. It's an utter joke. It's he's got 22 acres and an iconic, beautiful facility. On 22 acres on the inner, you guys know this better now, the intercoastal, you know, one
yeah.
side faces the ocean, the other faces the inland
minimal
waterway.
Minimal $10 million an acre, minimal.
A 2 acres of dirt goes for $200 million in that area.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Minimal. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But I love the way he said it. He's like, because he was not even perplexed. He was just insulted. He was appalled. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? My living room's worth $18 million.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot more than a living room there.
You know,
he's got the
acreage. And no one was defrauded. No one was defrauded because there was no damage to anybody. They got paid on time.
You remember the 2008.
They want to do business with him again. So
do you remember the 2008
no
real estate debacle that we had in the United States? Are you
yeah.
telling me there's probably 20 fucking million people that lied about the valuations of their shit, and they were encouraged to by the banks because everyone was getting fat as fuck, and then shit hit the storm. But, like, I'm like, oh, he defrauded? Has anyone? There's no one on this phone call that hasn't defrauded or hasn't overestimated or underestimated their worth.
That kind of, you know, real estate, you know, people are, you get, you know, no two appraisers are going to agree.
Yeah,
and you're always
yeah.
going to try to put your best foot forward. I mean, the notion that to raise that into some sort of a fraud action is just, I mean, it just shows you how much they're out to get the guy. There's no
yeah,
one else that's
yeah.
gone after
what about,
in the same way for that amount.
What about
Go
the
ahead.
Fact that what about the fact that the judge stated in public that Trump was guilty? And this was even before the trial.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that's going to cause it, I think, even with the liberal appellate courts, to be overturned. He made a ruling on what's called summary judgment where he decided as a matter of law that there was no dispute of the fact, and so it didn't need to go to trial because there was no dispute of fact based on the fact. The judge determined that he was guilty of committing fraud.
Hey, Mike, quick question
for
you.
That's obviously going to be a huge matzo ball hanging out there when you go up on appeal.
What does that mean, summary judgment? I've never heard that term.
It basically takes the case out of the hands of a jury. You're saying there's no need for a trial. The jurors
okay,
are not
that makes
finders
sense.
Of the
okay.
law. They're finders of fact. And there's when you grant summary judgment, you're saying there's no dispute whatsoever of the facts, and as a result, I can make a ruling as a matter of law based on the undisputed facts. And it's the most overturned. They're the most overturned of all types of rulings because basically you're depriving a party of a chance to get in front of a jury when you do that.
It's common practice in civil trials for people to file motion for summary judgment, and as Mike says,
right.
it's the most overturned because rarely, times when summary judgment, and Mike, correct me or add anything, but typically summary judgment would be, as an example, a divorce case. You're suing for divorce. The person that's being, you know, the responding party, the respondent, doesn't respond. Has left town, doesn't show up, isn't reachable in any way. So a judge would typically then say, would grant some motion for summary judgment. You know, they may put stipulations in. So if the person were to contact the court, you know, 6 days, you know, later or whatever, that might be. But typically, you know, the motion for summary judgment would in that type of case. But
yeah, well,
rarely.
Not to get too technical, that would be more of a default judgment by default because they
okay.
didn't show up or something. But,
right.
But
okay.
You know, in essence, it's kind of the same thing. You know,
okay.
An example would be, let's say, two people get into a brawl. One guy attacks somebody, beats the hell out of them, right? And so based on discovery, before you even go to trial, it undisputedly comes out that that's what happened, that the guy got the hell beat out of him by party A by party B. And so based on that, and it's not disputed, you know, the guy that did it's not saying he, you know, didn't do it. He admits it. In that kind of a situation, you know, there's no dispute of fact, so you can just rule as a matter of law that he's guilty of. It's a bad I'm using a bad example. I'm just trying to be very simple here. But anyway, in that kind of a situation, there's no dispute that he beat the hell out of him. Therefore, he's guilty of committing the tort of assault. And then you just move on to damages, which is what, you know, what they did in this case with the.
So in essence, you're saying summary judgment says that a judge has veto power over the jury.
Well, it doesn't even get to the jury.
Yeah,
I mean,
motion for summary judgment is we think a jury isn't necessary.
Right, and that's why it's often overturned on appeal, because the appeals court looks at it and says, look,
a judge should not have that power.
There's some stuff here that is in dispute, and a reason why it could differ on, and therefore granting summary judgment is inappropriate. You got to let this go to the trial and let the jury decide.
Yeah.
They're the ones that decide what the facts are.
That's interesting.
So
okay, I did not know that. I did not know that.
Now,
he knows all the facts. He knows better, and in his mind, there's no doubt he's guilty. I mean, this guy is so out of it. He's a disgrace to the bench, and he should be. I mean, it won't happen because it's New York, but the guy should be. He should have a judicial complaints authority up there. Should be looking at him. He should be facing bar issues, and he should be impeached. This guy is a total disgrace. This judge, he's an absolute.
Who judges the judges? Would that be state court?
Know,
okay, okay.
Yeah,
that you can cut the Al Pacino
courtroom
scene.
Yeah, well, normally in state court, I don't know New York, but normally in state court, you're not appointed.
No, it's a fair
question. You have to go up on
attention
every now and then.
No, but it's a fair question.
Attention to the judges. Do you know who the judges are in the county in which you live? You might know one or two, but you know there's probably 20 of them. Do you know them? Do you know who they are? Do you know
anything
about them?
I don't follow local politics.
I'm just saying, most people, but the average person has no idea what these judges are up to.
Pretty much all the ones I know, I went to church with at one point. So.
And, you know, in federal court, it's for life. So the only way you get rid of them once they're appointed is
it's a federal judgment. Right.
Yeah,
but
this
guy's not a federal judge.
No.
So. Mike, are summary judgments used in criminal trials? Like, would a defense attorney file a motion for summary judgment to dismiss or whatever, or is that just a motion for a dismissal?
Well, yeah, there's something akin to them. It's more, I didn't work too much in the criminal, but usually what's done are, and you probably heard about in some of these cases with Trump, you file motions to dismiss. Now, often what will happen is the judge will come back, well, the motion to dismiss is basically, you know, looking at the complaint and saying it just doesn't wash, it doesn't state a claim, even if you accept it as true. It's, you know, but so that's why it's hard to win those. But usually what happens is they'll say there's some facts here that need to go to a jury, but you cannot find someone guilty of a crime on the basis of summary judgment. I mean, that you're always going to have your day in court and a trial before a jury. But you can, the defendant in a criminal matter can have counts or the case as a whole dismissed based on a whole, you know, insufficiency of what's charged, misconduct by the prosecutors, statute of limitation. You know, there's all kinds of defenses that you can raise, that the defendant can raise. But you cannot deny a criminal defendant their trial.
Well, so in the case,
you can't say, oh, he's guilty. I think he's guilty based on the undisputed facts. Boom. The only time that ever happens is if both parties agree to waive a jury trial and let the judge decide, which hardly ever happens.
So in the case of the Trump thing, this judge, who evidently is part judge, part economist, part everything else, but so he makes this decision, which, as you said, was just is a joke, really. Is there does it reach the level of misconduct? In other words, if there's a tape heard of him saying, well, we'll get him and we'll drain him of every dollar, is that misconduct or is that just a scumbag?
Are you talking about the judge or the prosecutor?
Either one. But the prosecutor already
ran on the
premise of going after Trump. But I'm saying if it turns out that the judge is just saying, yeah, whatever it takes to get this guy out of here, is that misconduct or is that just...
It could be misconduct, and you can file a judicial complaint. You can also raise those issues on appeal, and they can be in and of themselves enough of a ground for an appeal court to overturn the decision.
That's why I said
who judges the judges.
Right.
What's the next level? I guess it would be the appellate court.
That's the reason that this, all this stuff against Trump, and including and maybe especially the criminal trials, are so unfair. Because you hear all this stuff like that psycho Jack Smith, or I forget how Trump calls him, madman or something like that. Anyway, or the other prosecutors, Fani Willis, this Alvin Bragg, these guys are all screaming about how we have to have a trial before the election because the people have to know if he's guilty and a convicted felon. But the problem with that is, why do they have to know that? At the expense of his rights, and A, and B, you're going up in with biased prosecutors in heavily Democratic areas that are going to be top-heavy with Democrats who hate the guy's guts, the jury. And if he's convicted, which, in some of these jurisdictions, they'll convict anybody like Trump, the appeal would never happen before the election. So if you can't have, and these things, well, a lot of them would get, if he got convicted, I'm betting would get tossed on appeal. Well, that comes after the fact,
Yeah.
That's like the retraction that occurs after the lies that the original story is. So we have to have the trial before the election, but we don't need to have the appeals that would follow. It's completely unfair.
So if Pelosi was a prosecutor, she'd say
before the election.
So if Pelosi was a prosecutor, she'd say, we have to have a guilty verdict before we can actually look at the facts.
Yeah.
Look at the papers.
I would say this. Okay, fine. It's important for the people
we have
to know whether or not
verdict.
Trump's guilty of a crime. But in order to determine that, he has to be able to appeal any conviction in the trial court because if they toss it out, then that means
we
got
to approve the bill before we look at it.
So unless you can do all of it before the trial, unless you can do all of it before the election, you shouldn't do any of it before the election.
Right. Hey, there's a cool protest.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a miscarriage of justice.
It is completely.
And I don't follow it to the level of Mike and you do, Hank. I don't follow it to that level, but I think it's an absolute unequivocal miscarriage of justice, and I'm disgusted by it.
Let me put it succinctly. Trump would have a better chance of being found not guilty by a court run by some flunky of Stalin than he would in Washington D.C. or New York City with the juries there.
And isn't that scary? But that's where the goosebumps come. That's scary, because if it can happen to Trump, who's worth $6 billion thereabouts, Forbes' latest estimate, what can they do to you and me? That's fucking.
Well,
terrible.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's
well,
what I said earlier.
A lot of people don't know this until they face the music. They get charged with the crime. The power of the state is awesome. They've got basically unlimited resources, and most people, if you can't afford a good attorney, you're getting some flunky that's from the local public defender's office. And I hate to say it, but it's like the old the thing from that Lavrenti Beria, the KGB chief for Stalin saying,
right,
show me the man and I'll find the crime. Well, that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
We can indict a ham sandwich, I think is the same.
Right.
In other words, if they want to fucking go after you, you're fucking cooked.
You better have lots and lots of millions of dollars to fucking
take care of your
defense.
Or you're bankrupted if you manage to get out of it after years. You know, look at somebody like Ollie North. Remember he went through it, got convicted, finally went up to the Court of Appeals and they tossed everything out. Same thing happened with that governor of Virginia, that what's his name, Bob McCullough or somebody like that, something like that, where he got convicted, he and his wife. And, you know, there's huge publicity about it. You know, he's going to jail. Well, it's up at the Supreme Court. 9-0, they reverse. And he's off. You know, but again, you know, that happens a few years after the fact.
Yeah, the damage is done.
And by the way, guess who the prosecutor was in that case for the governor of Virginia?
Let me guess, Jack Smith.
Yeah.
Wow.
9-0.
Hey, guys, so there's a cool protest going on in Brussels near the EU headquarters. Farmers are protesting by throwing beets, and spraying manure at police. So they're demonstrating agricultural ministers are meeting to address concerns that have sparked months of protest across the EU. And they're protesting against what they perceive as excessive regulations, unfair trade practices, environmental measures, and cheap imports from Ukraine, with billboards on tractors demanding the ability to sustain their livelihoods of farming. I kind of like it. It's kind of like, I guess you'd say, throwing shit on a wall to see if it sticks. But, you know,
I wonder if what's going to happen to these guys is the same thing that happened, remember, to the Canadian truckers about a year ago?
Basically
declared martial law and started confiscating their bank accounts and crap.
Well, how about Trudeau? Isn't he a gem?
Not just in America, but in a lot of Western world, the state has become, tyranny, out of control.
It's you guys know me. I'm a half glass half empty guy. The world's going to hell in a handbasket right now. I just went down. Hank knows it. I went down and saw my niece and her husband and her child that live in Toronto. And he's not, but she's a liberal. But they're even like, this Trudeau is a fucking nutcase. He's a fucking nut job. And he's
Hank,
the one that did that
our,
with the truckers.
You need to get our Canadian friend on and talk about Trudeau sometime. That could be very entertaining.
Oh, yeah. It might be a little dry, but it would be interesting.
Jamie, you guys are talking about?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
He wasn't a friend of that guy's dad, and I know he's not a friend of the son.
No, not at all. So
Pierre, that guy was the biggest lefty.
Yeah, Pierre Trudeau was Pierre Elliott Trudeau. So anyway, hey guys, I'm gonna take a couple of stories here. So I'm gonna mute you guys for a second because I just want to take these stories real quick, and then I'll come back if anyone wants. You know, if you want back in, just I'll come back on. So this is a story I was telling Brother Tommy about a little bit. It's tragic and it's kind of somewhat amusing, and it really points out just how disingenuous at best and corrupt at the core the not-for-profit world can be when it goes beyond what I call basic human needs and instead it moves on to the realm of ideology. This is from the Orlando Weekly. It's a leftist publication, but they do report on some pertinent stuff. So remember, back in 2016, the shooting at the Pulse nightclub, which they tried to say was an anti-gay crime and that it wasn't Muslim terrorism and all that stuff. So Orange County taxpayers are going to have to cover one Pulse Foundation's unpaid property tax bill. So the defunct One Pulse Foundation basically dissolved and turned the property back over to Orange County. But they left an unpaid property tax bill, $51,000. That's not that much. It's a 1.7-acre property just south of downtown Orlando. And Orange County is getting ready to re-inherit it, or have. But it was purchased by the One Pulse Foundation. Now, here's the thing. It was purchased from the person who owned the Pulse and was sitting on the One Pulse Foundation. So right then and there, you're already talking about a little hair on the deal. So it was for the construction of a Pulse Museum and Memorial. It was meant to honor the victims and the survivors of the Pulse shooting. It killed 49 people plus the guy. There were 50 survivors. It was purchased using $3.5 million in funds it received through contractual agreement with the county. So in November, Orange County accused them of a breach of contract, and when the organization decided to dissolve, it also moved to revert the ownership of the property back to the county. And then, earlier this month, another issue was identified. In a memo that was sent to the county commissioners, the mayor's chief of staff, and I assume they mean the Orange County mayor, but it could be the Orlando mayor, chief of staff informed them that as part of a process to terminate the county's agreement and reinherit the property, the county discovered one pulse. They indicated they don't have the funds to pay the property taxes and do not intend to do so. They've researched the property taxes and have determined that if not paid, the taxes will become delinquent on April 1st. Penalties will be assessed and a tax warrant will be issued for the property. Now, here's the idiocy here. One, that's a not-for-profit that leaves it hanging. And there was, you know, so many hands, and I wouldn't say hands off, just flat-out sleazy dealings that, you know, the person that sold the property stayed on the One Pulse Foundation and owned the pulse. And so the staff have researched the property taxes and determined if not paid, the taxes will become delinquent, penalties assessed, blah, blah, blah. Now think about this. Who assesses the property taxes? The county. Who collects the property taxes? The county. Who could just flat out just wipe out the idea of the property taxes? The county. So the chief of staff, Roseanne Harrington, added that the county comptroller's office is prepared to pay the unpaid property tax bill to avoid further complications down the road. Now think about this. I know it's only $51,000. So everybody's thinking, it's just $51,000. Well, no. Said the move to cover the bill required approval from the Board of Commissioners, who, despite expressing grievances afterward, unanimously approved the decision at their consent agenda meeting yesterday. Think about that. It might have been last week. But so they literally they spend the time on a consent agenda over $51,000 that they could just simply just say, look, we're eliminating the taxes. The property reverted from the previous owner. You realize the county is not going to be paying property taxes. You realize counties are exempt. Here's the weird part. Nonprofits are exempt. You don't pay property taxes if you're a nonprofit. It's a huge problem in certain places. One place I can think of is Montreat, North Carolina, where the two largest property owners are the Montreat Camp and Conference Center, which is nonprofit, and the church. The two largest owners of property there. So residences, and it's often second homes, but those they get soaked. Oh, I'm sorry, not the college. Montreat College and the Montreat Camp and Conference Center, whatever. They literally don't pay taxes. They're exempt from property taxes. So why was this property not exempt from property taxes? I can tell you, I'm a member of a civic club with the foundation owns a sizable piece of property. And we don't pay property taxes. So Orange County Mayor Jerry Devings, a nice guy. He's a cop. He should maybe just stick to being a cop. He says, we're going to pay the taxes because we don't want to end up in a situation where there's a tax deed sale or any of that that could further complicate the ownership issue and our ability to recover what we can. Covering the bill at this point, he said, was in the financial interest of the county and taxpayers so that we don't have further calamity from this set of circumstances. $51,000 property tax bill. Calamity? So one of the survivors suffered multiple gunshot wounds. He says the One Pulse Foundation took advantage of us, the victims and the survivors of the shooting, and now they're taking full advantage of Orange County taxpayers. None of this should be allowed while they, One Pulse executives, were paid six-figure salaries to misrepresent their financial position to the public for donations. He's involved with a group of survivors who have for years vocally opposed One Pulse's proposed museum project, arguing that it would privatize a public tragedy and ultimately serve as a way for One Pulse to profit off their pain. I don't disagree with that. Founded by former club owner Barbara Poma, less than a month after the shooting, and received criticism over the years for, among other things, paying several executives six-figure salaries at certain points, while survivors said they continue to struggle with treatment bills for the injuries and psychological trauma. Said it was the nonprofit was mismanaged for years under leadership completely out of their depths despite seemingly good intentions from some of those involved in the work. They raised millions of dollars over the years, mostly under the umbrella of eventually constructing a permanent memorial, but also for a scholarship program. But as contributions dwindled, the nonprofit failed to take corrective action or to communicate its troubles in meeting project milestones and expectations. It spent nearly $700,000 in grant money received by the state just to cover executives' salaries. Several county commissioners expressed their disappointment and questioned whether they could take any additional action against One Pulse, which no longer has any staff. There just seems to be no accountability, one noted one commissioner, who asked if One Pulse detailed any records of the funds that they have left. Comptroller Phil Diamond confirmed they'd requested records from One Pulse of their expenditure of funds they'd received from the county, about $3.5 million. And $3 million in unrecoverable funds for museum design services. They also requested their bank statements and have received neither. Mayor Demings confirmed the county is looking into its legal options. From a legal perspective, we are pursuing every lawful means to recover whatever we can, including records. This is a money grab. It, I mean, $51,000 and they're going after that. So Orlando had this annual community rainbow run, which has historically been organized to benefit the foundation. This year it's being organized by the city of Orlando, which purchased the former Pulse nightclub site from One Pulse last year and has taken over the project of creating a memorial. And one, the commissioner said, who are they raising money for? To pay us back? To help the families? So yeah, this is the kind of stuff that happens in the nonprofit world often. Often happens, more often than you think. But the grab is just, it's just creepy that they're going over this over $51,000. It just seems a little bit odd. It just does. There we go. So I'm going to take a quick break. I will be back in about 3 minutes. In the meantime, listen to some music from the movie The French Connection, a movie I dearly love, and I will be back in 3 minutes, 14 seconds. And we are back. I am Hank Jones. You're listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio. I've got a couple folks on the phone with me, Boyd the Alaskan, Brother Tommy, and Hawkeye Mike. You guys are back on. So I got to tell
you guys. Can I interject real quick?
Hank, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Your father, who happens to be my father, would have said, get to the verb. You just managed to condense what should have been a minute and a half story into 15 minutes. People lost you after 4 minutes. What's the fucking point of that last story?
Well, it's just to show you how the left, when they, because typically it's the left that runs a lot of nonprofits. I shouldn't say typically, often it is. And they are literally going over this over $51,000 and a property tax bill that the county owes. So, or that the property owes.
Thank you for condensing
it
to 1.5 minutes.
But I mean, literally, it's just absurd. But my point is, where they're going after money from somewhere, because it's not about $51,000.
That's 1.5 minutes. You done good. You done good. But you turned into a 15-minute rambling session.
You're gonna hear another good story here. So James Carvin was on Anderson Cooper's show on, I assume, CNN. Yeah, Anderson Cooper, 360 years of idiocy. So Carville was saying that basically Biden isn't a good attack dog. So here's what he said. He says, Cooper says, you're a proponent of this president and all his spokespeople in the campaign doing that and more, meaning go at character assassination. He says, but he says, yeah, not so much him. I mean, to be candid, Anderson, President Biden is not the best attack politician I've ever seen in my life, and I'll leave it at that. But there are a lot of people to do what I call the wet work. And Anderson Cooper says, sounds like a mob hit. He says, well, it's kind of, but it's paid TV and stuff like that. But, yes, it's a CIA. Now, first of all, you know, Biden might not be the best attack politician, and frankly, Carville should know, because if there's an attacker – on this planet who is more sleazy, and it would be James Carville. I mean, he was as sleazy as a god. Now, of course, if it were on behalf of Trump and somebody said, let them do the wet work, what do you think would happen? Boyd, what do you think would happen?
Carville's a memory. He's got no voice anymore. Go ahead, Boyd. My bad. He's a memory. He's got no voice.
Boyd might not be on the phone. Boyd, are you there? Well, he's still in the chat.
Yeah,
room.
I'm hanging now.
He fell asleep on your soliloquy about the Orlando shit.
Well, so, boy, if this were on behalf of Trump, this is being blown off. What do you think would happen if it were somebody saying this on behalf of Trump, that they should do the wet work?
The wet work. Oh, to Trump?
Yeah. No, but they're saying they should do it to Trump. But, I mean, can you imagine if somebody said it on behalf of Trump?
Oh, shit. They would be all over it like steak on shit, just like they're trying to do with his bloodbath comment.
Yeah. I mean, Carville is just he's a sleazebag. But, I mean, I just can't believe...
He's done. Hank, he's done. He's done. He's a nobody now. That's why he's doing this rancorous bullshit, because he's done, and he knows he's done. Mary Matlin, or whatever the fuck her name is, has probably got him on a leash.
No, she's divorced. She divorced him.
She did?
I didn't know they were divorced. I didn't know that.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that?
Well, let me look it up real
Google
quick.
Google it, someone. Someone Google it. Someone Google
she,
it.
She should divorce him.
I agree with that. But, that would shock me.
Oh,
I
maybe
did not,
not.
Know
I,
that.
I thought I read
case.
That they were. I thought I read that they were divorced. I could be looking at the wrong people, but I thought I read that they were divorced.
I don't think so, because I saw an interview like 3 or 4 weeks ago. They're both done. She's done, too. She fucked up George Bush's campaign. They took Clinton for granted. They fucked up. She fucked up. And Carville was great in the Clinton era, but now he's nothing but a sounding board that doesn't even make sense. people
well,
are like,
actually,
fuck him.
I agree. I think he's spot on in his criticism of what these liberal women are doing to the Democratic Party and how they, you know, basically, you know, I think what they do is they don't like football, they don't like beer, and they don't like people, you know, the idea. It's almost like they're modern-day Puritans. They don't like the idea of anybody enjoying themselves.
No, Mike, I agree with you. He's spot on. Where I don't think is I don't think he has a voice anymore. I don't think he has a voice anymore. But I agree with you. He's spot on the way he calls it.
Well, you know, he may be right there, but he gets himself on TV when he wants.
Well,
yeah.
I can see, you know, when this it was a few months ago, and I just, you know, looking at everything coming down, and it was a few months ago. I don't know if I told you, Hank, or on your show, but I said this. I said I do not think that Trump will take the oath of office.
Yeah, you did say it before.
I remember.
And I agreed with it.
It took me reflection,
and that,
but I thought about what Boyd said, and I'm like, God damn it, Boyd might be right here.
Yeah. Well, Boyd,
well,
you had a good point
know,
on Vito. You and Vito had a good show, good point on Monday when you were talking about, you know, the whole Kennedy thing, is that the Democrat Party is possibly putting him in there to try and, you know, if he could win a state or two, that kind of...
He can't. He doesn't have the political machine wrong.
Well, no, but the point is the Democrats believe that he can or whatever. You know, I mean, if they were to just throw their, who knows?
He's going to get the Joe Rogan-like Republicans, but he's not going to get he's going to do more damage to the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. Yeah, he's going to get the Joe Rogans who have to flip a coin because they don't have any concrete convictions, but that's where the story ends.
Well,
yeah,
the thing about it, the thing is, I mean, this is what what Bongino had said. What I said on Vito's show was
right.
That, you know, there is a possibility that, you know, if Kennedy takes one or two states, you know, he doesn't have to take a big state with a whole lot of people in it and a lot of electoral votes at all. But if
he makes it so you don't get 273, I get what you're saying. But Dan Bongino,
yeah.
I respect him tremendously. So maybe he knows something I don't, but I do respect Dan Bongino.
Well, I don't think he knows anything more than this. It was speculation on his part. Because, you know, if that,
but what
if
they,
that's
he's going to take Connecticut,
I don't see Kennedy taking a state. I mean, show me what state he's even competitive.
I don't either. That's what I'm saying. That's Connecticut.
What I think he'll do is take votes from the Democrats and ensure the election of Trump.
I would agree with that.
Well,
I thought what Boyd was getting at early in the past was like even if he wins or. They'll find some subterfuge way to prevent him from taking office, or
and that's what's scary. And Boyd made me think about that.
He was definitely talking about that.
Yeah, Boyd actually made me think about that. I said a comment on Hank's show, but then I thought about it in the wee hours of the morning, and I'm like, God damn it, Boyd might be right.
Brother Tommy woke up sucking his thumb after that. He was so scared, but.
I was. You want another Biden term, do you? Or excuse me, a Kamala term?
Right. So,
or a big Mike term.
I have to get to this little bit of Laffy because two of the participants are on here, and another one's in the chat room. So this morning, Indy Hawk, and Indy knows that I'm doing this not maliciously. This morning, Indy Hawk.
Although you should do it maliciously.
It's more fun
but go ahead.
Malicious.
So this morning, Indy Hawk said, let me find it. Let me find the beginning. Okay, he says, just saw this author on The View, The End of Race Politics, Arguments for a Colorblind America. He crushed it, and the bitches ain't happy. I said, why are you watching The View? Brother Tom said, please tell me you don't watch The View. Lie to me. I threw up in my mouth. T. Bodie said, Indy, inquiring minds want to know, as do I. Say it ain't so. Then Indy said, taped it when I saw he was on. Also watched when Trump Pence on. Know your enemy. Brother Tommy then came up with, I'd rather watch queer porn. And he said, it made my day. A couple of glorious takedown. Fox will have highlights, I guarantee it. So I had to tell Brother Tommy after this one, rather watch queer porn. I don't like the implication of that. Now, this is what Brother Tommy claims now. He says, exaggeration to make a point. Then he says, shit, who am I kidding? Busted. So Indy Hawk then said, the guy finished all over hosted, if that helps.
Well, you know, it's like you know, you say who'd watch The View, and the only reason to watch The View or say MSNBC, CNN,
is when
bad things are happening to them. Like, for instance, who can tell me they didn't get a guilty pleasure on election night 2016? Did you going over to watch the meltdowns on CNN and MSNBC? And if you think that was bad, can you imagine what it's going to be like on election night this November when Trump goes over the threshold?
I say this with all due respect to Hank, and I say it to Hawkeye Mike, and I say it with all due respect to T. Bodie. All of you guys should be ashamed for being friends with Indy Hawk.
Oh, come on.
Here's the actual excuse as to why he's watching it. If you're working, and it's a valid excuse, if you're working remotely and you want to be distracted by what's on TV.
Here's what you do. I'm going to go broadcast news.
You put the view on so you won't be distracted, but then when something like that comes out, then you get distracted.
Hawkeye Mike, I'm going to go broadcast news on you. If you're watching The View, keep it to yourself. Don't advertise it.
Well, as I said,
what he should have said was, my wife had it on, and I couldn't help but overhear it.
That would have been perfect. That's why I said, lie to me, Indy Hawk. Yeah.
But when Indy said, the guy finished all over hosting, if that helps, I cannot say what Brother Tommy said. Other than it was
I'll
hilarious.
Tell you what I said. I hope he gave her a pearl necklace. That's what I said.
Yeah. You said finish with a pearl necklace if there's any justice in this world. Wait a second. The comment of the moment followed up when Mike said, I'll look forward to the highlights.
Well, you know they're gonna show the takedown on any of the evening shows on Fox.
They didn't do it on the 5. I watched the 5 tonight. They didn't do it on the 5.
I bet Hannity or Ingram has it.
No, it's Indy Hawk's justification for watching a gay show. They're not going to do shit.
Like I said,
Indy Hawk's justifying bad behavior.
Now let's look at the great news that Indy brought us. This is from Hawkeye Sports News. I was going to talk about the tournament.
Let me guess. He's watching Rachel Maddow too, right?
No. This is Pretenders. We're not going to get. I was going to get to the tournament today, but I mean, I'm depressed enough. So, Indy Hawk points out Patrick McCaffrey is in the portal. Thought he was done, but has another year. Going to miss his 2.8 rebounds in 23 minutes.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you serious that he's in the portal? Are you serious though? Or is that
That's what Indy said.
Yeah,
Brother Tommy said,
Brother Tommy said, you want to go into the portal.
Yeah, Brother Tommy said, that family is a joke. Indy said, only one left to go. Youngest is not so coming, so only Fran left. Tommy says, I think Beth dumps him. Indy says,
I said, it's too bad Fran didn't go into the portal. Yeah,
that's what a couple of people have been saying that elsewhere. Why can't Fran go in the portal? So,
you know, Hank, let me just quickly interject real quick. Because of the mental issues and stuff, I do kind of feel bad when I get down on Patrick. I'm actually down on his dad for playing him and creating his. Those of you who don't know, Patrick has got some mental issues and stuff. And I actually feel like that's on Fran McCaffrey, not Patrick McCaffrey. So when I do that shit, I'm kind of being tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I'll
you
tell
do
you
know
he
that, right?
He could have stepped away from the game, number one, which he did a couple times.
Yeah.
But nothing is obligating him to stay. So, but I mean,
that's fair.
Let's put it this way.
Fair.
Let's put it this way. This might be the most between the parents between of the children. This might be the most honorable act by a Hawkeye.
I honestly believe Getz dumps him. I really do.
It would have happened by now.
What's his buyout? $16 million, something like that. That's fucking change nowadays. You know, it's pocket change nowadays in college sports. And I hope I'm right. I don't like Fran McCaffrey.
Yeah, but I
I'll be the first
seen
one to admit it.
From Beth yet that he's being on.
I haven't either. That's what scares. That's what scares me.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, like,
yeah.
Like what she did with Brian Ferentz. And you know, look, I wonder though. Maybe you know, what's Fran hanging on for? The guy's like 63 or 4, isn't he? And he's now he doesn't have any family on the team. Well, you know.
Well, I'll tell you
Perkins.
What. Now, I'm going to get a trifle off track here, but I'll tell you what. I'm telling you, who's playing as good as anyone in the country right now is Iowa State. They're playing as good as anyone in the country.
They got a great
oh, yeah.
game tomorrow against Illinois.
That's going to be a. That's going to be. I won't bet on it. I do bets
game.
With my son. I won't touch it because Illinois is so frenetic. They're a weird team. It's feast or famine. They could win by 20 and lose by 20. Iowa State, I like. I actually like Iowa State to go to the championship.
Yeah,
game.
No, Iowa State is the real deal. They are. I think they are.
Yeah, they are. Couldn't agree more. And defense does out, and they've got the best defense. Yeah, yeah. And I'm rooting for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough thing to whether you pull with the Big Ten or not, and. You know, I guess I don't
I'm
feel any.
For Iowa State
not,
over
not
Illinois.
So much for me because I have no attachment to Illinois of any kind. And
right.
I do.
Mike, don't
Iowa
you
State
have a brother that went to Iowa State? Didn't your brother
no,
go to
no,
Iowa
State?
No,
he went
State?
To Iowa, but he acted like he went to Iowa State.
Yeah.
I actually like Iowa State.
Look,
my buddy, my queer
kid,
buddy,
to
went
State.
To Illinois, yeah. So I kind of root for him, but it wouldn't hurt, yeah. wouldn't break my heart if Iowa State won. I don't know. I kind of, I root for all
I'll
things
tell you what,
Iowa.
Ochsenberger is a great coach, I think. T.J. Ochsenberger,
yeah,
the Iowa State coach. And, you know, I mean,
he's a phenom.
Maybe
he's
is
a
Iowa
phenom.
State a destination place? I mean, would he go to Iowa? I don't know.
You
Iowa
gotta start
go
wondering.
The Breeze guy at Drake, too. Great coach.
Yeah. There's a lot of people think that he might be going to Iowa.
Who? DeBreeze?
Well,
no,
I
he's going
so.
To West Virginia. No, DeBreeze
is
going to West
yeah,
Virginia.
I think someone's going to snap him up.
He's already gone to West Virginia. DeBreeze.
Oh, has he? I didn't know it happened
yeah.
that
quick. That came out yesterday, oh, wow. I believe.
Oh, okay.
So,
did we ever
you know,
get confirmation on what's
Virginia,
his name?
Come on.
Yeah, it's lateral, almost. It's a little bit better. I mean, you're at least in the conference. Did we ever get confirmation on Carville, Hank?
No, they're still showing him that married, so I guess they are.
That's
I,
what
there's
I
some
thought.
Other,
That's what I
some
thought.
Other,
nah.
There's some other quote-unquote power couple, though, that is divorced, so I don't know who it is.
But. Ochsenberger or whatever his name, Mike's absolutely right. He's the real deal. He's the real
Ochsenberger.
Deal.
Ochsenberger is Dewey Ochsenberger from Stripes.
Yeah, you might have noticed he had a slight weight problem.
So, you know, I was talking about...
Six-week program was perfect for him.
Yeah. So, guys, I just saw this come down on the news. So, a certain director is going to be doing a documentary series, a docudrama series for Fox News, and you're not going to believe who it is.
I heard it on the radio.
Scorsese.
Yeah,
Scorsese.
You got it.
Yep. That was a total fucking guess. It's going to be called
The Saint, and it's going to center on the lives of 8 saints, including Joan of Arc, John the Baptist, Mary Magdalene, and Francis of Assisi. So they named 4, but they couldn't be troubled to name the other 4, or do they not have 4 in mind?
This isn't called The Temptation of the Saints, though. It's not called The Temptation of the Saints.
Yeah, that's right. He did temptation, Last Temptation of Christ, didn't he?
Yeah. Last Temptation of Christ, yeah.
Yeah, he bastardized the Bible's
interpretation,
but that's okay.
It was unrecognizable from the Gospels, but, you know, who wants to quibble. But,
you know, Scorsese to me is a one-hit wonder. All he does is good mob movies. Granted, he does great mob movies, but that's his only shtick. Christopher Nolan does everything, west, east, south, north, as does Spielberg and as does Coppola.
Well,
people tell me – go ahead.
SCTV handled that in a skit that Mike and I saw. The only thing – the only person Scorsese directs is Scorsese.
And, you know what? I didn't know they did that. There's a lot of truth to that, though.
There's a lot of truth to that. It was those old guys arguing about James Bond, and Eugene Levy goes, and his character goes, the only person Lazenby plays is Lazenby. And then Martin Short gets up with his – remember he's in that tall chair and his arms are up, and he gets up and his arms are stuck in place, and he goes, I will not sit here and have Roger Moore's character sullied any further.
Let me tell
it's
you
like
something
they,
right
like
now. My boy who knows Christopher Nolan told me that Christopher Nolan's favorite Bond movie is from here. Her Majesty's Secret Service. My wife and I just watched it last week. It's pretty fucking good. I don't know why Lazenby only did one Bond thing, but he's pretty fucking good.
The only
good
person he plays is himself, according to
him. That scene is similar to when that Joe Piscopo was doing Frank Sinatra on Saturday Night Live when they were trying to get Reagan reelected, and they had the guy, Billy Crystal playing Woody Allen, you know, he's in there.
It's Rick Moranis, and he goes, Woody,
you
want a
piece of me?
Yeah, he goes, Woody, we need you to get the faggots. The faggots, the commies, the liberals. Would you bring it in the scum vote?
Hank, you got to quickly interject here. What's the best SCTV skit ever?
Okay, There was one that was a series that they did called Six Gun Justice. That's pretty hilarious. But are you saying Perry Como still alive?
You mean the Happy Marsden show was the override?
Yeah.
Michael's my son, for what it's worth, and he recognized what Hank said. When he starts putting his finger down to tap to the beat. Perry Como's still alive.
I think we all had a fond place with Count Floyd, too, you know.
Yeah. My favorite is the Ramblers when they're like Peter Paul and Mary, and Eugene Levy is wearing those slacks that are like multicolored slacks.
Well, then there was that Mel Brock.
What was that song? How did that song go by the Ramblers?
Bob Lawine sitting on the doorstep. No, Mel's Rock Pile. When they had on Richard Harris to do MacArthur Park, and then they bring in the girl to sing the high part, but like we're gonna go to a quick break. If you haven't, folks, Google that. SCTV MacArthur Park. That is absolutely brilliant.
That whole show was fantastic.
Or who was that Eugene Levy character that was always, he was like the politician doing the phone-ins, too. And everybody would call in and say, we're going to get rid of that ridiculous wig. And he goes,
Max Lasky. He goes, hey, Max, is that a new wig or is that the same old stupid one you always wear?
Same old rat mask you wore last year.
But he goes, sir, what makes you think I'm wearing a wig? He goes, because I saw your picture on the wig. I'm sure that Mr. Brooks or whomsoever put that up there is probably just a big fan of the show.
How come they don't have these on reruns anymore for a new generation? You can't find them. I mean, you can go on YouTube.
I think it's because you got to hit the 100 episode epic.
They had a ton of more than
TV
that.
Was
no,
on
it's,
quite a while.
They are.
Yeah,
you can buy them on DVD, but who does that anymore? So anyway, hey guys, I'm
coming
up with
the five guys too. The five neat guys.
Yeah, that was great.
Someone
from
Express in town. Yeah.
Was it John Candy Hank in Andy? What's his name? Skit where he says he just made me want to get up and stretch.
No, that was Dave Thomas. He made me want to stand up and stretch.
Then who's doing the Slim Whitman parodies?
That was Joe Flaherty.
Wasn't Slim Whitman in the bomb?
That was Slim Pickens. That was Slim Pickens.
Oh, Slim Pickens. My bad.
Was a singer who was.
Yeah, my bad. My bad.
So
he did the yodeling
cowboy or whatever the hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So guys, hey, we're up against the hard ending here. So I gotta cut out. But
you can have a whole show on SCTV.
I want to thank you
In
guys.
In fact,
Boyd,
we should.
Hawkeye
Mike's absolutely right.
We should do a show on that. I want to thank Boyd and Hawkeye Mike and Brother Tommy for coming on. Indy, Hawk, Joe Gibson, the Alaskan, Boyd doing double duty again in the chat room. Tim Tapp for stopping in. Esotericism. 111 caller, I'm sorry if I never got to you, but if I don't recognize it, I don't know what you do. I don't know what you live on. Sue from New Mexico. For being on the phone, that Sue is really big on sharing. When I post it on Twitter, she's great about sharing it and getting the word out. Not just
Hank,
for me,
you know what you
got to
do. You know what you got to do. You know what you got to do, Hank. You got to find her where Sue is from, New Mexico, because Michael, as you know, lives in Albuquerque. Find out if Sue's in close proximity to Albuquerque.
Well, she's probably nervous about having any relative of mine show up at her door, so I'm not going to.
Good. Fair point. I'm not going to show up on her doorstep.
Well, but we got to make sure of that. So we're gonna I'm gonna protect Sue's anonymity. Sorry, but I gotta go that way. Well, folks, we're down to 120 seconds, so I gotta thank you guys for being on. Thanks everyone for listening. We will be back next week, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday. In the meantime, have a great rest of your night, week, and weekend. Be safe, and March Madness continues this weekend. Go Hawkeyes and Caitlin Clark. Good night, folks.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
Good point.
Says, happy Easter. He is risen.
Very good point.
Good night, all.
You got it.